order of the service and the burden of the sermon. I may not get much over than a whisper tonight, but he maketh no mistakes. I thought I got out of this last night. We're just going to hook up where we left off. And I'm not to wear your patience, but I am to mind the Holy Ghost. Style of message tonight that God has asked of me, that I have asked of him to not let me preach probably a dozen times in my 30 plus years of preaching. 1990, I'll be 34 years, I believe, Brother Tim. And don't lose me when I tell you what I'm going to preach on tonight. I'd give anything if my wife could be with me tonight. I've talked to her and FaceTimed with her. And me and her has had prayer. I've got to preach on a wife tonight. It's very strange to do in another man's pulpit. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. What are you holding, sis? 33. What are you holding on then? Boy, 33, 34. There's 34 women in here tonight. Females, not women, females. It's 34 females. And if it gets too bad, we'll deal with it. Amen? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 males. Seems to be always more females than they are males. Did you know that's even, there's more females than they are males on earth? Is everybody okay? If there is a church that I love outside of mine on the road, I'm in it tonight. I love many, but I love this one dearly. And even though I am of age compared to your pastor, I'm under his authority. And if I overstep, I'm under your authority. I'll sit down if he bids me to sit down. I'm scared tonight. We talked about wells of wisdom last night. I want to talk to you tonight about a wife. I will talk to you about a physical wife, a bride. I will also talk to you about the church as a bride. And I pray that you'll receive help. Proverbs 18 and 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You're looking at a man that is what I am because of the grace of God, but it's because of a wife. I could not be who I am and what I am without a wife. As an introduction tonight, I'll ask you as a gentleman, where did she come from? Where did she come from? I'll ask you another question. Who is her family? Who is her family? I'll quote you a statement to ponder on, and this is not a message to ambush women or men. It's in the probably the most, it's probably in the top five most strangest sermons to preach in a revival meeting outside of your church. Men, I want you to think about this statement. She chose to take your last name. If my wife would have said, "You got to bear my last name," listen real close, I wouldn't have married her. John Collins. John David Collins. That sounds weird. Grieves my spirit. But Rebecca Collins was willing to go down to the courthouse and change her name legally. And under the vow that was exchanged and the legalities that was took place, she is no longer a Collins. She's a Dorsey. My Lord God, we're going to preach this as a parallel tonight, physically as well as spiritually. Is anybody glad that God let you change your last name? Oh, is anybody with me? I am not what I used to be. There was a new name written down in glory. And oh, yes, it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Dealing with the matter tonight of a wife. The bride, the church. You're going to have to stay with me as I preach this. A parallel is a line and another line running together. And I'll explain that later in the message. I'll ask you, how are you treating your bride? I'd ask you, how are you taking care of your bride? Then I want to ask this question to all of us. How are we treating God's bride? We are the wife to God. How are we treating God's bride? I'm wanting to give you a 30-minute talk that me and Brother Josh ain't even discussed nothing about church today. We've been trying to get passports ready. And for him to have all the ladies to sing? And then God burdened me so heavy and I'm so sick. Not to be rude, but if I could leave, I'd leave. But I'm on a mission with God. I thought I could bump this last night and be off of it. I don't understand why In 18, it's right here. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. In the midst of all of that we was dealing with last night. Me as a husband. Very humbly that I must say that God has allowed me to take care of his bride. And he wouldn't have done that if I wasn't have taken care of my bride. I need y'all to hear me. Pastors that are mean to their bride, they don't last long. Men that are mean to their bride don't last long. I say this as careful as I know how. Sir, if you don't love her, somebody else will. Hey, ma'am, if you don't love him, somebody else will. I ask myself as a pastor, how am I treating God's bride? God treats me very rich and very favorable. God treats me better than I've ever treated him. God treats me better than I've ever treated his bride or my bride. Would somebody help me thank God for a gracious God? A gracious God. A God of great mercy and grace. And to the Stillwaters Baptist Church, as a pastor, I myself as a pastor and evangelist tonight, I must be careful how I handle God's bride. But as a church, for God to grow you, as he grows his man for the bride, he must grow the people for future growth with the bride. It's not just the pastor's maturity that counts. It's every man's level of maturity in how you treat your personal bride as well as how you treat God's bride, for God to see and more of his bride to be here. These little children that are so well behaved on these front rows. I understand some children are smaller and we have a nursery, but what are you going to do in a decade when these are marrying and having children? And I've done seen God do it at our church. There's over 20 families in my church now that we have seen as a babe. There's over 20 now that has had a marriage. I'm doing a marriage this weekend. I'm doing another marriage week after next. I've got about 6 or 7 marriages in our church this year, and over half of them, they went to the nursery. They went to the beginner's class and the primary class and the preteen class and the teen class, and now they're in the young adult married class. God does not build a church overnight. God builds a church over a life. But you and I, as caregivers to the bride of God, must take care of his wife. God help me to continue in maturity so God can trust me with more souls to be saved and more people come to the church and his bride become larger. And so tonight in our hearing, I don't want you women to get upset with me here, but guess what the Bible refers to you as a wife? A thing. I've had them say, don't refer to me as a thing. Well, if God can refer to you as a thing, I want to be a thing. What's this? Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I thought I was smart until I looked up the word thing. 1828, listen. It's a primary sense of a thing, that is, that what comes, falls, or happens like an event. And an event or an action, that which happens or falls out, or that which is done, told, or proposed. That is the general significations of the word thing in the scriptures. Or after these things, that is an event. Webster's 1828. Any substance that which is created. Somebody help me. I'm glad I'm a created thing. So the next time somebody says you're just a thing, say, hallelujah, I'm a created thing. Don't get upset when you're referred to as a thing. It's a substance which is created of any particularity or an article or of commodity. The word commodity in 1828 dictionary means the primarily convenience of a profit, an advantage, an interest. And the phrase in the meaning of commodity that come out of the meaning of thing, there's a phrase that says men seek their own commodity. Can I say hallelujah? I have a great commodity in a wife. I have a great thing in a wife. The word thing or things is actually used in a sense of honor as a wife. So tonight, dealing with a wife, the Bible said that that is a good thing. I only have three little thoughts tonight, and that is my first, is that you're a good thing. You're a good thing. Men, Preacher Dorsey, how are we taking care of a good thing? I want to show you a verse and we'll work the scriptures, flip back a page or two in Proverbs chapter number 12, in verse number 4, dealing with a virtuous woman. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 4 that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The verse don't stop there, but the Bible said, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Boy, God help me. God help me not to do something foolish. For my wife to create rottenness in my bones, and God help her not to do nothing foolish to create rottenness in my bones. Are y'all hearing the word of God? I want to say she's a good thing. That way she can be a crown. Can I tell you that if I have a crown tonight, it's a little small lady back about 4 hours from here. That's a great crown to me that I need to take good care of because of a crown God has blessed me with. Not only a wife, a good thing as a crown, but can I say it was more than just my choice? She had a choice in the matter. I chose her, but I'm glad she chose me. And I want to say to us tonight in the bride, I'm glad God chose me before the foundations of the world. But when I become of age and seen I was a lost sinner headed to devil's hell, that I'd been chosen by God. But I'm glad I chose him back. Hallelujah. Amen to God. I'm glad I chose my bride, but she chose me back. She didn't run from me and didn't go hide. Hallelujah.
Oh, there's been several ladies as girlfriends back in them days, but there's none like her. Would somebody say amen? Very few ever marry the first you ever meet. Some of you just been through some bad divorces, and I'm sorry for you, but that don't mean you're second class. That does not mean God's done with you. Some of you may have had a wasted life and said, I'm nothing but trash no more. Oh no, friend, as long as there's hope, I'm glad God can still make his bride complete. Just want to help you tonight with a wife. Not only was she a crown, not only was there a choice, but there was an immediate care. We're living in a day to now to where men are so sorry. He's laid up in the living room playing his little video games while his wife's working two jobs. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a, he don't even deserve to be called a man. Many of you are stay-home moms. Your husband's working long hours to make for certain that that takes place. Don't take that for granted, ma'am. And sir, even though you work so many hours, don't go off with your buddies on a Saturday. Spend time with your bride. I've got men in my church that are great men, and we love to fish and hunt. Some of them's working 80 and 90 hours, and then they go spend Saturday evenings on the boat or in the creek, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when he's been that gone that much from his wife and children, I just want to encourage them, make sure your bride's taken care of. Before your friendship's taken care of. Before your hobby overrides your marriage, make sure your marriage is right. I'm trying to be very careful with my words, Pastor. I know these are touchy grounds we're on, but God will not let me get away from just talking about the wife tonight. She's a good thing. I want to say to you, precious women, it's amazing how God thought of you. To be a wife, the weaker vessel, a crown, a choice, a care. Is America not in need of some good mothers and wives? Are we not in need of that? Wives that go down to the jaws of death to bring forth children in this world. Some of you that are sitting here tonight unmarried and say that God will never have me a husband because of this or because of that. I want to say if you'll fall in love with Jesus, God will bring you a spouse. He'll bring you a wife. He'll bring you a husband. God's not forgot about who you are. God's not misplaced you on earth. God has not forgot about you. He knows right where you are. He knows right what you need. And he's never a day late. Hallelujah. He's a God on time every time. How many of y'all tonight believe that God's never late? Do you believe God's never late? If we really believe that God's never late, we would learn to wait differently. If we grasp that God's never late, that God's never a dollar short, we'd learn to wait with patience. So not only is she a good thing, but go to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. I want you to hear the word of God in Genesis chapter 2 in verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. A help meet for him. Not only is a wife a good thing, but a wife is a God thing. Yes, God's the one come up with this idea tonight of a wife. God stretched forth out that the church and the home are resemblance tonight. They work together. God instituted the home prior to the church, but he created the church, and the church and the home ought to be interwoven together. As God compares the bride of his church, he compares it to the bride of a husband and a home. Ain't you glad tonight that we're in the bride of God? I thought about this little word, meet, help meet. I'll deal with the mate in a moment, but I want to deal with the help meet. Not only is a wife a good thing, and God put something in every one of you women to be a wife. God put something in every one of you women to bear children. Now, I know you don't need to hear this, but our children needs to hear it. There is no transgender right with God. There is not a right for them to choose whether they're a male or a female. Amen. I want to say to you and I as husbands and wives, the children that we had, you and I had nothing to do if it's a male or a female. Right. It's a God thing, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God tonight that you and I did not choose to have a boy or choose to have a girl. We just chose that if God would give us a baby, that we want a healthy baby. Hallelujah. Now they can find out what it is and we know before it gets here. But I'm here to tell you, you and I had no avenue of making that child a male or a female. Now our president declared Transgender Day on Easter Sunday. High visibility of life. That's wicked and straight out of hell. And our president will answer to God for acknowledging every sodomite and every lesbian and every transgender. He's going to answer to God. That ought to make something boil down in your spiritual bloodline. That God never has made a mistake, and God never will make a mistake. It's a God thing. So what is a helpmeet? In 1828, you find the meaning of a royal mistress to unite in company. An helpmeet is suitable, it's proper. It's two covering lines that will meet at a point in the end. I told you I'd get back to them lines. My wife and I, all these years, if we're not on the same page or in the same line, there's conflict. Oh, but let me tell you, it sure is heavenly when the line is in the same line. Are y'all bearing witness with me tonight? Can I tell you our life ought to be line upon line? It ought to be precept upon precept. That's biblical. That's Bible talk. But it ought to be line on line. And when we get to the end of the line, there ought to be a point. And at the point of the end is the very beginning of all eternity. Because we're going to be known as we were known here. Oh, glory to God, the bride of Christ. We're in this together. But as a bride of our wife, God help us to be line on line. It's not that she runs the house, or, sir, you boss the house. It's that you lead the house, sir, and it's that you follow, ma'am. It's two coverings of lines that will meet in a point at the end. The word help meet means to be qualified, convenient, adopted. It means to come together by being extended as to a use or a purpose. But it also means to suffer expectedly. And help meet. We'll just get in there and help one another. I was laying up there in the hospital in them days of COVID, Brother Tim. They wouldn't let my wife in. They'd have to come to the parking lot at Floyd Medical Center and say, "You're going to have to go home, Rebecca." And she'd weep. And she'd say, "I can't leave." I'm talking about suffered unexpectedly. While I was up there on a ventilator on the third floor, she got as close as she could to the window. And she said, "I can't get to him, but he's right up there." That's how it ought to be. I want to say there's no sin. There's no struggle of the past that ought to devour you so deeply that we'd walk away from what God has given us. I'm saying some things tonight. I told you, Pastor, last night, I've not come to preach my heart. I've come to pour my life into you. And preachers don't open their life into you because you see the wounds in you and you see the bruises. It's the grace of God that my wife is even still married to me. You say, "Well, have they had affairs?" If she's ever had one, I know not of it. But 250 plus days a year, I'm in a motel or I'm in a prophet's chamber or I'm in a camper somewhere outside of my wife. And you better hear me, that ain't good on any marriage. That ain't good on any home. It's the lot God has given to us and we have to work so hard at that. And God's the one that's kept us together all of these years because as I've been given to my wife and my wife has been given to me, God has had to let her give me back to God's bride. And Miss Amy's having to do that for you. And that's why I try to make days special. Moments special. We're not above anybody. The ground's level at Calvary. But I'm here to tell you, husbands and wife, that lady on the work field that may give you a little more attention than your wife, you better back away from her. Ma'am, that man that gives you a little more attention where you may work, you better back away from him because the devil's trying to devour our families and our homes in our good old time churches. And this church is only as strong as its weakest home. A wife, a helpmeet. She ought to become an honored mate. An honored mate. She's a help meet, but needs to become an honored mate. There is a separation of a help meet and a mate. An honored mate in 1828 is a companion and an associate, one who consistently associates with another, a husband or a wife. Listen to this. The meaning of a helpmate is one that eats at the same table. Amen. One that attends the same school, church, Sunday school. Aren't you glad you've got a mate?
Yep.
And we need to honor our mate. Honor our mate. I want to say this to my shame. I've discovered in recent days that God treats me according to how I treat my bride. I have discovered that God treats me accordingly to how I treat his bride. I found out that when I honor my bride and love my bride with the holiness of God, God in return favors me. So much tonight, I'm ashamed to tell you how good he's been to me. And I have found out as pastoring all these years at my church, that how I treat my church is how my church is treating me. And how I treat God's church is how God's treating me. It's not just for the pastor. That's for everybody in here tonight. I hope I'm not boring you or wearing your patience tonight. I'm just saying, God, help us with our wife. I want to say cordially as I possibly can to Brother Josh as the pastor. I've been here long enough to see God mature him and give him wisdom. And it takes a special church that'll take a young man and allow God to mold that man. When that man makes mistakes and you make mistakes, that man don't run you off and you don't run that man off. It takes a special breed of people for God to allow us to grow together. And guess what my church has done all these years? They've allowed me to make blunders and mistakes as a young novice. And now I'm near a 50-year-old man pastoring some of the same people. And I have seen them allow me to make my mistakes. But in return, I have given them liberty in their mistakes. And God is growing us together. Oh, can I tell you, and this is not to take away from my blood family. I love them, but I'm closer to some of my church family than I am my own blood family. And then it dawned on me one day, we are blood family. Hey, ain't you glad we're blood family tonight? I must hasten on, not only an honored mate, the word mate means to match or to marry, to equal or to be equal to. Days of counseling. My wife took me that I'd had a marriage prior to her and I lost her. And I know I've talked a little bit about it here. She died. And my wife took me I take my hat off to my wife. I'll be very choiceful with my words. My wife took me in, and she was as clean as the driven snow. And I had had a previous marriage and some 3.5 to 4 years older than her. And it was a God thing. I don't know that I could have done that. But God let her choose to do that. And in those days of relationship, as pastor in the Shepherd Fold Baptist Church in Canelton, Indiana, as an unmarried pastor in an engagement with a marriage date, and I married her pastoring my first church in 1997. She was a better Christian than I was. Barriers had done been broke. I know I'm pouring my life into you, not my heart. And I want to say to all you young, unmarried, teenage boys and girls, you ain't got to be a teenager. Keep yourself clean and keep yourself pure and holy, because as barriers are crossed, the barrier wall seems to be gone. And so keep your barriers up. And my wife was such a greater Christian than I was. And to my shame, the reason that our marriage was as holy as it was is because my wife was a better Christian than I am. And I'd still state she's a better Christian today than I am. And there's some men that can't say that about their wives. And then I would not say this, but my wife has testified and she makes statements that, no, Y'all don't know the preacher like I know the preacher, and he's a better Christian than I am. But if I got up and told you that I was a better Christian, I'd be a fool. If I got up and bragged on me and bragged on who I was and what I was, I'd be a fool. Bible said, let another man praise thee in thy works. And so husbands, praise your wife. And wife, praise your husband. And we'll come down here and praise the very bride of God tonight. Not only is she a help meet, an honored mate, you both will become a holy meet and a holy mate. She or he that is saved belongs to Christ. So before they become ours, they was his. And so how am I treating the child of God in my wife? I have raised my voice to her in anger. And the Holy Ghost would say, hey, that's my child you're talking to. Next time you want to voice your opinion so strong, sir or ma'am, to your husband or sir, to your wife, you need to realize that who you're screaming at, who you're hollering at, belongs to the Lord. And if you wouldn't come down here and scream and holler at your preacher or his wife or any church member, what are we doing screaming and hollering at one another? Have you ever done it, preacher? Yes, I have, and I'm ashamed and I'm sorry. Visited a home not long ago of a lady that was beat up by a man. I'd like to give that man a little bit of what he give her. And I also know some women puts a pair of man's shoes on, and ma'am, you go to hauling off and slapping him and hitting him, what's he supposed to do? Stand there and just let you? I don't think so. I hope I wouldn't kill my wife, but I feel like if she ever laid a hand on me and continually do it, I'd have to stop it. And so, ma'am, don't you put yourself in a pair of shoes that belongs to a man. And sir, if you'd haul off and slap her as they did on the Gunsmoke days for no reasons, somebody ought to give you a little bit of your own medicine. Might I say that I have gotten over physical abuse 1,000 times easier than I can get over verbal abuse. Verbal abuse does something to a wife or a spouse mentally that some can never get over. So be careful how we treat that holy meat and that holy mate of God. Are we all right? I'm 43 minutes. Are we okay? I'd love to get this message preached. I'm so nervous tonight. A wife. I told Rebecca to pray. I mark her down. She's praying now. Not only is a wife a good thing and a God thing, but I want you to go to Psalms chapter number 127. I sure hope we're okay, Brother Josh. I've thought about the beautiful kitchen that's next door. I see all of the manpower. I see all of the man's ability. I see the strength of man in that kitchen. But we need the gentle touch of a lady tending to the stove and the refrigerators and the freezers. I see the strength of the hand of a man that laid the countertop out, and I know us men can cook and all, and I'm not taking away from that. I love to cook, but we do know who does the majority of it. Nothing like a lady's touch on a casserole. Nothing like a lady's touch on a dessert. And can y'all see how I may drive up in here to get in on that big bar slam full of food? I see the power of the hands of man all over these facilities, but we need the gentle touch of spirit-filled women. Yes. Yes. Are we in Psalms 127 and verse number 3? And then I'll back up and catch verse number 1 and 2. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb. Watch this, is his reward. It's his reward. It's not only a good thing, not only a God thing, but ma'am, you are a giving thing. I believe my Bible. I'm not taking away from you, ma'am. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, that's a woman, is his reward. And I believe the italics and the word of God are inspired. Man, I just become a grandpappy. I'm glad you come back tonight. Being a grandpa, I feel like you look. All of them said nothing no greater than grandchildren. They're better than your children. I tell Becca, there ain't no way they can be better than our kids. I love my kids. I love my boy and my girl. And I'm telling you, we're a tight family. I said, there's no way. I said, they ain't had what we had. They ain't got the kind of home we got. They don't know the kind of love we got. Guess what? I'm wrong. I'm triple times wrong. Sorry. We had a good family, and I love them. Let me tell you, but Ella Mae Ann Dorsey, hallelujah. She don't even know me by name, but she can grin now, and I'll give her the checkbook. I done bought her a shotgun and a rifle and a four-wheel drive. Somebody help me, and a country girl can survive. We can skin a buck and run a trot line. If you ain't, hey, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm in Kentucky with a bunch of rebels under suits and ties, and you women got dresses on just to come to church. Probably got mace and pistols packing places that only you can get to. Patsy Henderson is in heaven. She'd kill me for saying this, but I was very close to them. And she got in that van and leaving, I said, won't you let me get you a motel? She said, preacher, they ain't nobody gonna mess with me. And I said, what do you mean? She was sitting in that minivan, had that old cotton dress on, and she took that cotton dress and took her hand, pulled it way down right there in between her leg and took his other hand, wrapped that dress around tight, and had a hog leg strapped to her leg. She said, that's a .44 revolver with a 6.5-inch barrel. I said, you sang with that on you? She said. Ain't that wonderful? I didn't ask to see it, I promise. Hello. I didn't want her to pull that thing out on me. Somebody help me. And so I know where I'm at. Women, don't shoot me. But you're a giver. The fruit of the womb, the travail that you go through, brings a reward to a man. We see the labor of a woman in travail. We see the labor of a woman at home. And thank God I ain't a woman, because I couldn't do that all day. But let me tell y'all something, ladies, don't overlook the travail and the labor of a man's hands, 40 and 50 and 60 hours a week for his bride and his babies. Man, I hate to preach so long, but I got to finish. The fruit of the womb is his reward. The faithfulness, though, of the work, ma'am, is yours and his. The faithfulness that comes with the fruit of your labor and your work, you share together. Oh, hallelujah. I watched Kathleen, 41 hours of labor. I didn't watch the labor. It was just him and her. Y'all do what you want to. But I was thankful of that. I was glad they wasn't in our video. And y'all do what you want to. But that's a husband and a wife bonding. Yes, And when Taterbug was holding little Ellen, wiped them off and cleaned them up. And they let us come in. Oh, glory to God, I'm about to tear something up. One of the greatest memories that I have is when Kathleen, Miss Amy, took that baby and lifted it up to my son and said, here is your little baby girl. Glory to God, I'm about to run. Hallelujah. There's nothing like a mama that just entered the jaws of death that takes what she bore for 9 months, what she liked to die over, you hearing me, and then offer it unto the husband that gave it to her. Oh, somebody help me tonight. If we can grasp the depths of the bride and the depths of the church, we'd treat church better than we treat it. We'd love church better than we love it. We'd give more to the church. We'd work harder for the church. If we'd treat the church, hey, as good as we treat our bride, it'd be a better church to attend. Because, Brother Josh, God has took his little bride. And God has took all of his little sheep. And laid them on his shoulder. And if you'd ever get a hold of how that the little sheep and the one shepherd is working together, there's a fruit of the womb. It ain't your reward. It ain't your reward. It ain't my reward. It's his reward. Glory to God. I hope y'all are getting this right. God's a giving it to me. We can't run around here and say, look what we're glorying in. No, you're just a little shepherd with a bunch of sheep. And God bundled up and said, here is my children. I want you to take care of them. And then God bundled all you up and brought you over here and said, here's your little shepherd. I want y'all just to get along together, because I'm going to bless your womb. Hallelujah. God's going to bless the womb. God's preparing you for some more babies are coming around here. But we got to keep up. We got to be mature. Who do you want on the piano? With Chris. Not only is there a fruit of the wound, the faithfulness of the work, but it is simply the will of the Father. It says God's will. I'm laboring for the Lord tonight. Okay? I'm laboring for my bride tonight. I'm laboring for you tonight. I'm laboring for my church tonight. I don't know. I was with you for maybe 2.5-3 hours. We walked from J.C. Penney's to Belk's, from Belk's to Ross, from Ross back to J.C. Penney's, like a bunch of hoodlums and overhauls. And people making fun of us. He seen some that he knew. I felt like he seen some that didn't really want to see him. I just said, hey, I'm with him. We got our passport picture took. We had the lady believing that's my boy. He called me dad. I called him son. Y'all have been there. And he said, can't you tell we're favored? And she went, oh, yeah, y'all favor. If that's favor. Sorry, Brother Tim. Hello. I mean, it was crazy what all happened today. I'm going to share something with you. It's a little intimate between me and him today with this issue. I love you and I love him. Don't act like y'all don't know who Anthony Oliver is. Or is it Oliver Anthony? What's his name? Anthony Oliver? And that old song he sings, "I Just Want to Go Home." If y'all ain't never heard that, sorry. Josh, Brother Josh, sorry to call you Josh, Brother Josh. He said, "Doc," he said, "I'm having to make myself go to Missouri." I love y'all, but I was sitting on that porch at Bubba's house. Bubba's building a big old barn. I don't get to see my family much, and I was holding Ella. Please don't take this offensive, but I had to make myself give Ella back to that Bubba and get in that car. And I turned off of Pickens Road, Rojo. I'm a man. I'm a grown man. I feel like I'm a man. Are y'all hearing me? But the older I'm getting, the softer I'm getting. And the older you getting and the harder you getting, you might ought to go check up. But man, I cried coming down Gordon Springs Road, hung a left on Tate Road. Come out there and hung a left on old Ringgold Highway. You know that 18-mile journey to get to the interstate from my house through the country. And Brother Josh, I cried. I just had to make myself go. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't love him. It's just I'm serving him and I'm serving you. And when you think your preacher pulls out of here happy, go think again. I hear him talk to Amy. I hear him talk to his babies. I hear him. But this bigger picture, it's a bigger picture. And I want to say this in a few closing remarks. Be glad you got a preacher that other people wants to hear. Amen. Instead of having a preacher that nobody wants to hear. There's a danger on both sides. But you got a young preacher that God's anointed. In spite of obstacles and opinions. He's God's man.
Amen.
Count yourself privileged that you have a man other people want to hear. And then, Brother Josh, me and you, we got to count ourselves privileged that people will drive to come hear me and you 3 times a week. I wouldn't walk across the road to hear me preach. And so this deal with a wife of being a giving thing, the bride of God, it's a life of giving. Until you get a hold of that, you're going to miss. To a husband and a wife, and I'm closing. I'd go to Psalm 27:1, but the Lord's just told me to close her down. This is his house, not my house. This is his house, not your house. It's her labor with children. It's his labor for the children. But it's both of our laboring for and with children as a companion, one who keeps company one with another. Let us take care of each other. Husband, I want to tell you, I'm 58 minutes. I want to tell you a truth that happened to me probably 15 to 18 years ago, is I got a hold, brother, that I'm going to love Rebecca regardless of how she loves me. Because I'd love her and then I'd want something in exchange. I'd do something for her, but I'd want something in exchange. That's not love. Love is when you give and give and don't care if you receive anything. Man, my marriage turned around when I started loving Rebecca with no expectations. And I can lay my hand on the Word of God tonight. I love her with absolutely no expectations. I don't care what she does back. I don't care what she does. That's on her. I love her because I want to love her. You can get mad at me if you want to. I hate that this has changed in her life. It's probably partial my fault. What I'd give if she'd go back to fashion jewelry. I can buy fashion jewelry with change in my pocket. But her mother's a sainted old woman that loves diamonds, and my wife loves diamonds, not them fake ones, them real ones. And can I tell you, them little small diamonds is like 3,700 times more than fashion jewelry ever thought about being. And you know what I found myself doing? Going down to the Maryville Jewelry in Dalton and putting it in layaway and paying 3 years on a 25-year anniversary tennis bracelet. You're dumb, preacher. You're crazy to prepare for a 25-year anniversary and go buy. I'm not going to tell you how much I paid for it. I'm ashamed of it. But the Lord let me, and it took me 3 years to pay it off. She never noted I hid that much money from her. I'm pretty good. Better than I thought. Sorry, I wasn't going to brag on myself, but I just did. She said, and I want to say this. I left the price tag that was on it. Don't act like you wouldn't have done that, neither, man. She said, for real? I said, for real. She said, for real? I said, don't look at the tag. Look at the diamonds and look at me. I was lying. I wanted to look at the tag for three and a half hours. Look, that's real. That's right. I'm not going to tell nobody I got it 40% off of that. Somebody help me. We buy about $15,000 a year of jewelry from them for our camp workers. They ought to take care of me. Somebody help me. There's no way she could go buy me a gift that valuable. But what she gives me in love, I can't afford. Quit comparing gifts. Quit comparing value. And when I started loving her because I love her, she can't. She's a stay-home mom, and she feels bad. And I say, no, don't feel bad. And I see she gets money in ways that she don't know how she got it. And guess who she spends it on? I'm quitting. When God demands something, he'll supply it. And when God demands it, he'll supply it, but whatever God supplies, he demands. Get a hold of that and you'll turn three cartwheels. Just love the bride. Let's stand. You might want to get your wife or your children, or if you don't have one, you might want to just come love on him. We are the bride. This is revival preaching. Somebody could get saved here tonight. I know that, and I can't help for preaching this long. But it's God's business. I wonder how many would find a place. It's Kayla, right? You get your little old youngins and just come up here and get by him. I don't want to embarrass you, but just get by him. I seen you coming, but we prayed a many of prayers. He's here. And I've prayed a many a prayers for a bunch of you, and you're here. Would there be anybody else want to come pray? I'm going to ask the pastor to come pray over us, because this is his flock. And I'll say publicly that if God troubles him on anything, I pray he'll talk to me, and I'll get it right with you and the pastor. I want you to come pray over the flock.
Lord, we sure love you tonight. And God, we thank you for coming by tonight and speaking to our hearts. And Lord, once again, I stand amazed tonight at the time and consideration, Lord, that you have put into this place and these people. God, I thank you for speaking to my heart tonight. Lord, I thank you for challenging us, comforting us, and convicting us tonight. God, I'm burdened for people in this church. Lord, I know that some of what those who are here tonight, what they're going through and what they're facing in their mind, just what they've told me. And Lord, there's not another message that could have helped any more than this one has. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that I would love your bride and my bride. God, I ask you for strength to do that. Lord, I ask you for wisdom and help to love them and to lead them in a way that pleases you. And God, I thank you, Lord, for giving both to me. I thank you, Lord, for my bride and my wife. Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity and placing the burden and placing the body and placing the responsibility on me to care for and to love and to lead your bride tonight. Lord, there's been many times that I have failed and I've fallen and I have done wrong. And Lord, you've allowed me grace and mercy, and so have they. And Lord, I thank you for all that you've done in this place. And Lord, it's untelling what you want to do. And God, I pray that our church, Lord, would bury this in their hearts, as this could carry us down the road and mature us and help us in ways that, Lord, only this could. I thank you, Lord, for a preacher that would stand and preach what's he's been told to preach, to help us, invest in us, and to pour out his heart and his life into this place. Lord, I love you because you first loved me. God, we're commanded as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So, Lord, I pray tonight that we'd grab a hold of the truth. Lord, that we would do, not just be hearers of the word, but Lord, that we would do what we've heard. If there's anything under attack in these days, it is the home, it is marriage, it is the husband, it is the wife. Without them, Lord, there's a matter of fruit that cannot appear. But Lord, we're seeing fruit. God, we see your love, your caring, your compassion for your bride in this church. May we do our job as the bride. Thank you, Lord, for coming by tonight and speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.